Blog Talk Radio.
The faith of the daughter of the king, you know, blessed souls, wherever you may be, is very important to remember. A special blessing that was given to all of us, all of our ancestors, when Noah and his three sons and their wives, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, as portrayed in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, said the Most High blessed them coming out of that ancient ark 4,114 years ago. And yes, this is Soul Class. O being an acronym for S7O, original, oldest, U, universal, L, laws, which entails from the Torah that no one should be involved in blaspheming the Most High with the name of the Most High. No one should be involved in idolatry. No one should be involved in murder, premeditated murder. No one should be involved in adultery. No one should be involved in stealing. No one should be involved in eating a little of an animal before it is died. One should be involved in promoting righteous statutes, in order that righteousness should rule in the land of all the lands of the living earth of the living children of man, dating back to original man, Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve. And so tonight we want to continue in our third part in our series about meditation, his bonanos. It's also known as the inner understanding, Pnimiyat Binah, Iyun, analytical Torah study, instructions of the Most High. And we're beginning with this whole idea of a teaching that I saw yesterday on Blessed Shabbat and Blessed Kesser Crown Heights, which was yesterday, Chai Elu, Topshin Ayin, which is 5,007 years, blazing and grazing to the creation, which corresponded yesterday to August 28th, 2010. And now today, okay, we are dealing with now the 20th of Elu, 5,770 years, blazing, creation, corresponding to October 29th. So it happens to be blessed over 24 years ago, a direct descendant of King David and King Solomon, okay? He instructed the nation of Israel to understand that the whole idea of writing Torah, including the inner dimensions of Torah, must go out to the 70 languages, the 70 root languages that includes today, inclusive of all any human language today, and that we are very close to the time of the 12 tribes of Israel returning to the land of Israel with the true and complete redemption for the sake of the nations of the world. Oh, we have a caller coming in. Let's see who it is. Is that David S?
Yeah, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. So we're just talking about the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, who of course we know is a direct descendant of King David and Solomon, talking about in the world to come, that we're going to see that all the human race will serve the Most High with one consent, with one language, which is the Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue, which we understand in modern terms of the Hebrew language, and by learning manners of Torah, which is relevant to all the nations of the world, including faith in the Most High, which is explained in the Torah of Chassidus, even in the languages which are not from the 70 root languages. And this is something also that we of B'nai Yisrael, you and I, should be sharing with people. And let's connect that now, David, to the whole idea of Hasidic meditation, because we know no one's going to go anywhere in terms of approaching the Most High without being well-grounded in one of the foundations of the Torah, which is meditation, which is clearly written by the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah, the laws of the foundation of the Torah, the second chapter in the second law. And of course, we're going to connect it to the inner dimensions of this foundation of the Torah from the seminal work, the great work of the second above the Trevor, the Dove there. We lived from 1773 till we went to the next level of life in 1827 in his book, Shari Yukud, the book of unification. Would you like to chime in on that?
Yeah, well, I think you were mentioning about the Lubavitcher Rebbe is that there's an universal knowledge of God, which is a knowledge which is available for every human being, but not an emotional knowledge as religion, as I said last week, as religion has been portraying for now, which is both more based on reward and punishment process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why religions have hurt the world very badly throughout the centuries, and now we're seeing it again with Islam. This knowledge, it's a knowledge that transcends this concept of, you know, reward or punishment. It's a knowledge of understanding who is the creator, who is God, and what was his purpose in creating this world. And this creator is here to, you know, eventually, with the coming of the Messiah, to share mm-hmm. his perfection of goodness and kindness with mankind. But it's definitely, the preparation for this is definitely having some kind of knowledge of God outside of an emotional, hysterical context. And we see nowadays a lot of people are saying more and more they're believing in God, but they want to believe outside the context of an institutionalized religion. So this what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is talking about is already happening, whether we like it or not. And because it's hard for a person to believe that it's just a bunch of atoms or it's coming from a monkey. Everybody is convinced they have a soul. They are not just, you know, a bag of atoms with a kind of electricity going through it. So,
I just want to chime in for 1 second. In other words, meditation, Hasidic meditation, especially on a book like Shari Yukud, Gate of Unification, is not a religion. It's a fundamental means of connecting to Hashem, to the Most High.
Exactly. Absolutely. It is like learning, like somebody go learn in medical school or any kind of school, lawyer school. He is not going to put his emotion in front of his learning because he won't be able to learn anything at first. Later on, if he wants to be emotional about a certain thing, that's his choice. But everybody realizes that at first they have to kind of let themselves on the side, so to speak, and open their mind to those new concepts in order to be eventually, hopefully, a good doctor or a good lawyer or a good scientist or whatever it is. Nobody goes to school sitting down full of, you know, hysterical emotion, ready to fight with the teacher. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's not going to work. Or nobody's going to say, you know, I want to start medical school at the fifth year of medical school. I don't want to go through the first years. That also is not going to work. You don't build a house without a foundation. You don't build a house starting with the third floor. So this Hasidic, what we call meditation, which really it's an intense analysis of something in details. And when you analyze something in details, you realize right away that you have to leave your bias on the side, because your bias is getting in the way of blocking the intellect, and you have to really open your mind in order to get one detail from another detail, to connect the dots. And this connection of dots make the person realize without any kind of violent emotional awareness, absolutely not, on the contrary, with a peace of mind acknowledgement that there is a God and he does really exist and is really into this world and there's really a purpose for this world.
Yeah. I'd like to go back to the Shara Block, the opening page of Shara Yukud, where we see that the Gate of Unification, what King David told Solomon before King David went to the next level of life, that the Most High is seeking at all hearts. And then he said, if you're going to seek him, you'll find him, and if not, you won't. And then David told him that I think this is from Solomon, who internalized the wisdom of his father, that the Most High is found in the content of heart. And then David said, with all of my heart, I seek you out. So let's get some feedback here. What's this whole thing? Why do we have to be reminded that the Most High is seeking our hearts and then being told us that he's in our heart already? I mean, people always have these strong feelings in their heart. Why do we need the Torah to remind us and pinpoint in a very precise way what's expected of us is that the Most High is seeking our hearts and at the same time simultaneously he's in our hearts?
Well, first, I want to. What he's saying over there is that if you look for him, he'll find you. You know, that's the interesting part. It's not that you'll find him, but he'll find you.
Mm-hmm.
You make the effort of looking for him, he will come to you. He will find you. It's a funny way of saying it, meaning that God is gonna really make himself available if he sees somebody's making the effort. Now, regarding the heart, well, the heart, again, it's one of the most misunderstood, I wouldn't say organ, because I'm not a doctor, but I'm saying in terms of a person's, the way he's functioned with his heart in an emotional way, the heart, really, in Hebrew, is the word lev.
Mm-hmm.
Lev, as you know, in Hebrew, as you know, every Hebrew letter has numerical values, and the word heart, lev in Hebrew, has the 32 numerical values, which,
mm-hmm,
according to Kabbalah, those are the 32 pathways of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, suddenly connecting, suddenly as if the heart itself could be your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's something which is completely different than what we think about the heart. Most of the time when we talk about the emotional aspect of the heart, we're just talking about the superficial aspect of the heart, especially the left side, the left side of the heart, which is always full of blood. But
mm-hmm,
really the heart has a much deeper function than that, meaning that even when we were talking about before this deep intellectual analysis with the intellect, has to be motivated by the inner aspect of the heart, meaning that is the inner desire and inner, burning passion of the heart to get to know God. Like they used to say in the 70s or the 60s by the hippies, to know me is to love me. No, the worst feeling in a relationship is to realize that somebody else, that the person that's been with for many years, doesn't know them. True love comes out of knowledge, understanding, not of some kind of superficial emotional feeling. We know that those die pretty fast and go nowhere. So this inner heart is going to be the motivation for the intellect to be able to do his job. And he wants the intellect to succeed so much that he's going to receive, meaning he's not going to get himself all excited, because that can bother the intellect for a while as the intellect is doing the analysis. And throughout this analysis, there's going to be some amazing understanding and discoveries and awareness about God. And at this point, the heart is going to get very, very excited. And that excitement of the heart, working hand in hand with the intellect, is going to motivate and strengthen the intellect even more so. Now remember, as the Fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe mentioned once, the heart and the brain are like two different universes. One is always moving, the heart, the other one is always in calmness. But according to what we say, what is Lev and its 32 pathways of wisdom, the heart has the ability to work hand by hand with the intellect, and the heart has the ability, eventually when the Messiah will come, we see that the heart has the ability to be like an intellect or a brain himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With that being said, we see that after King David told Solomon, and again, the Most High is seeking all hearts, and if you find him, you'll seek him, that he'll be found to you or find you. And the content of Allah Hashem is the Most High is in everyone's heart. Then David said, with all of my heart, I seek you. And then the Rebbe clarified, what is this Drisha? It's very interesting, the word Drisha has two Hebrew words in it, Barash, Barash, to speak out, and then the first two letters of the Most High's ineffable four-letter name, the Yud and the Hey. But he quantifies that this type of seeking is with the eye of the intellect in the heart, that's close, but it's very deep in the heart. So how do we deal with this whole idea that now there's an eye of an intellect in the heart that's close and yet so deep? Can you comment on this?
Well, again, like we said, the Lev has been the 32 passwords of Chochmah. There's really, in a superficial look, there is like a simultaneous reality, so to speak. There is the reality as we see it now. The intellect and the heart are two different things. And like we said last week, you know, people sometimes say, think with your heart, don't think with your brain, or think with your brain, don't think with your heart. Well, you can think with both of them, really.
Right.
Now, in a simultaneous reality, as this world is called in Kabbalah, the world of lies, Alma de Shikha. Why? Because as the movie, The Matrix, talks about it, there's a lie which is playing out in front of our eyes. Now, we can buy into this lie and therefore disconnect all the elements. And God is up there and I'm down here and the heart is in the chest and the brain is completely disconnected in the skull. And, you know, and people, some people don't have the abilities to understand. Some people are just emotional. And put all those labels and make sure that this is what we call the world of separation. Alma de Pruda, which means this is the world of chaos. This is the world of lie, where we're trying to disconnect everything. You know, this is an old saying in French, diviser, c'est mieux régner. In order to be a better ruler, you have to divide everybody.
We got another call, and I think this is a good friend, Mordechai Ben Mozi from Kabbalah. Mordechai.
Hey, good afternoon. Shalom.
Shalom. David S., this is Mordechai Ben Mozi. He's a good friend of mine. Mordechai, this is David S., a good friend of mine. Mordechai is originally from Hungary, and David S., Mordechai, is originally from France, and of course I'm from here in the U.S., so we're coming together, Mordechai, talk about Hebrew, Israelite meditations, and David's talking about these whole ideas of accessing the wisdom of the heart, and how do we deal with it as we live in this world of life. David, can you please, and Mordechai, if you want to ask a question, you're welcome.
Yes, I have a question to you, David, and I'm going to go off air. I listened to everything you said, and it's excellent. It's right on to the point. And I've been thinking of this a while now, for about the last 33 years of my life.
That's a long
and,
while, yeah.
and my question to you is this. You know, thinking with the heart and feeling with the brain is an ancient knowledge, which you have mentioned about the Kabbalah. My question is it possible that as we are getting further and further from our ancient ancestry or ancient genetic built-up from the mitzvahs or whichever way somebody is raised, we quit our connection to these two crucial elements of feeling with the brain and thinking with the heart, like we are severing the connection between these two things? Just a question to you. I know you were talking about it, almost the same thing, so I'm just, you know, putting this question in. Thank you.
Mordechai, don't get up for lunch. Stay on. Because
I'm here.
Okay, yeah,
well,
yeah, David,
yes, it's an excellent question, actually, because as I was saying, we're living in a world where we are constantly emotionally stimulated. And this constant stimulation, emotional stimulation, is to obviously do first one thing. Not let us really think for ourselves, and therefore we are bombarded left and right of bits and pieces of information, of distorted information, of if you really read into it, we will try to get from people emotional reaction, whatever. Even if a politician makes a decision, for instance, he has to make a decision, he has to work from time to time. And right away, the media goes in a frenzy. Oh, he decided that. They want to spark an emotional reaction right away. So it is the world we're living in now, a world where people react emotionally most and then anything else, and they call it intellectual thinking, which is not. It's just a bunch of emotional reaction. We are definitely, there's definitely living a time where there's a break between the connection of the mind and the heart. And as I said before, the Fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe said that from the get-go, it's two different universes in a way, the way they function. One, you know, if you really want to think about something, is to be removed and in a quietness. That's the brain, where the heart is, you know, constantly beating, thank God, and therefore it's a constant movement, and it has to be constantly, keeps constantly going. But what we're seeing in what the Kabbalistic teaching and the Torah Chassidus Chabad is teaching us is that there's this separation between the two. It's a superficial one. Now, somebody wants to play into it, wants to get into it, wants to go according to this separation. He has the right to. God did all this to give us free will. You know, I'm going to think with my mind when it comes to work, or when it comes to make money, or when it comes to a certain decision, but the rest is think. I'm going to think with my heart. And we're separating the two. Or we see that the concept of Jewish analysis, Jewish meditation, is based on Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. God is one, meaning the unity. We're here to unify, not to separate the element. Therefore, that means that in essence, they are all unified. And as I was saying, the word heart in Hebrew is lev, which makes the numerical value, 32 in Hebrew, which is the 32 pathways, or some say gateways, or some say chambers of wisdom. So there is an ability for the heart to get what the brain understands. And the time has come for that to be fully revealed, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. Throughout the centuries, yes, there was, you see, between the brain and the heart, there is the throat, which is a narrow pathway, because there was this approach that the heart cannot get what the brain is getting. So we're going to make it very narrow, make it very small, and just for the heart to get, you know, a general idea of the information. Well, that was just, again, a superficial approach. Now, the real approach is that there is no separation between the two, and the brain can feed the heart and get a feedback from the heart. It can strengthen the brain in his knowledge of the heart and his knowledge of God, and that enables the brain to go deeper on understanding, again, concepts who are very, you know, they're very deep. I wouldn't say complicated. That's not the word. They are deep. They are actually infinite, but they are not complicated. Complicated means that they are distorted, and that's not the right word. But it has to come with the motivation, as Don was talking about, the motivation of the inner heart, I mean the inner aspect of the heart. There is an aspect within every being, spiritual organ, physical organ, whatever you want to call it, which connects them. And that's the godliness that's enlivening, which is the lifeline, which is the energy of everything, which is connecting them. And this is what we're trying to activate. You were talking about, Don, the eyes of the intellect within the heart.
Right.
There is an intellect within the heart, and there is a heart within the intellect. This concept of separation has been totally, you know, forced on us in a way of a mantra.
If I can chime in, I think that Freud, Dr. Sigmund Freud, met the Rebbe Rishab, the fifth Rebbe, and asked him, if there's such a great distance between the heart and the brain, as the Rebbe says, how can they make a connection? So the Rebbe Rishab, the fifth Rebbe, answered Dr. Sigmund Freud, well, there's two general options. One can build a bridge from one continent to another. At that time already, they had underground cables. One can establish underground cables, but you know, he was speaking allegorically. You know, there's the revealed intellect between the revealed brain and the revealed heart, and then there's the inner brain and the inner heart, which we can hardwire through the process of Hasidic meditation.
Right, and that's tapping into the godliness, the real pure you know, pure godly energy coming within the soul, which is enlivening both the brain and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where those underground cables are, and they're always there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that there is an ability through free will to completely live on a so to speak, on a surface of everything. Just stay on the surface. Never go in depth, just stay on the surface, and therefore, like, for instance, man will look at the sea and will never wonder what's inside the sea. So we'll never try to go inside, see the fish, see the wells, and see the underground, you know, the underwater life, which is amazing. We just look at the sea from the surface, and it's a bunch of water. That's all it is. Such a misunderstanding, and that's what, when we look at the heart and the brain, and the inner heart and the inner brain, and if we want to stay on the surface, then we say, yeah, they're completely separated. I'm just thinking with my brain. I'm feeling with my heart, and that's the way it works, and that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's always going to be. And at this point, yes, we're becoming little by little closer to the apes. Darwin will be happy about this.
Yeah, I'd like to go back. Let's turn the page to the Havdama, the preface to the show, the Gate of Unification, where the Mitt literally mentions that this book, this actually pamphlet, if someone were to write this today, it would get 5 PhDs, but then it was just called a pamphlet by a Rebbe. This pamphlet is talking about the concept, the essence of the unification of godliness in each and every particularity, and the chaining down of the world, which in Hebrew is called the Seder Shtalshlus, cause and effect in the ten. Well, let's just take it from there. What are we dealing with here, this whole idea of unifying godliness of each and every part in the relationship of cause and effect in creation? Can you comment on that? We have about 3 minutes to go.
Well, that's a big one. that's like 3 minutes. Are you kidding me?
You got about 90 seconds.
Well, I think we'll talk about this next week. I just want to go back to the concept of the heart and the brain and the physical body. The first Lubavitch Rebbe talks the fact that one day we realize that we have also a brain in our finger. So our fingers have a perception through their own brain of God, which is not necessarily the same perception of my heart of God. So we have to unify all those elements to be able to have a 360 degrees vision of God and understanding who is God. And that goes through all the aspects of our soul within all the aspects of our body. And this is why that one of the first mitzvah in Torah, really, is to be healthy and really take care seriously of one's body. And that's, it's, you know, because the body, as much as the soul, is an essential element. And that's what Hasidus Chabad reveals. It's this essential element to understanding God, where before the revelation of Hasidut, the body was considered to be an enemy of godliness and only to focus on the soul. I'm talking in Judaism. I'm not talking about other religion. So that was the service before. That's the way they had to go about it. But then the Baal Shem Tov and Hasidus, and that's totally different.
I think Rav Hillel Meir Parsh, the great Chassid of the... He began with the Alter Rebbe, wanted to work with the Mittler Rebbe and the Third Rebbe of Chabad. Talked about how he thought the body was a scorned, despised thing. And then when he learned from the Zalman Zesmer, right there from the verse from Eve and Job, that from my flesh I shall perceive godliness, he realized the body was a thing of beauty because it was a vessel to contain the elokus, the godliness in the body.
Exactly.
Gentlemen,
exactly.
I'd like to thank both Leo, David S., and Mordechai Ben Mozi. This has been part three of this whole idea of Hasidic meditation. And I'd like to thank again both gentlemen, and you both have about 15 seconds to chime off with a shalom to everyone. David?
Shalom, nice to meet you, David.
Shalom Aleichem, very nice to meet you. Be well.
Okay.
Good to
see you. Okay, so anyway, for a little bit of music. Take care.
Talk
everyone.
To you soon, Don.
Okay, good enough.
One love, one destiny, the Quran of all of us, blessed souls, and soul class number 21, based on. taught a basic sitting meditation, who can do it? Everyone who's got a divine image, that's all of us. Now, I'm Sheikh, we can finish.